Good day, everyone. Welcome to the LifeInvestigated.com podcast today. The title of the podcast, Droughts and Famines, Biblical or Not. So I've been reading some articles today and last few days that the farmers have, given interviews to newspapers, news medias, etc. Pretty much a good portion of the United States is under a drought. Now, here on the East Coast, we are certainly having some drought conditions. I was reading an article just a little bit ago from some farmers over in North Carolina. They are looking at a 50% decrease in crop as it is right now. And for some time now, I've been speaking to you about the impressions I feel of the Holy Spirit, how we should be preparing for food shortages, for example. Now, food shortages can come from different means, and I've outlined some of those in past podcasts. Certainly, the Chinese taking over our commercial farmland is part of the reason that we can expect a food shortage. Then the fact that our own government has discouraged farmers from staying in business and made it practically impossible, especially for the more local family farmers, to make any money, keep their farmland in the family, and carry on the tradition of farming that they may have had for generations and generations. So is this anything unique? Is this anything, has the world experienced famine and droughts before? Well, certainly the world has, and has God instituted droughts and famines before? Well, if you read the Bible, then the answer would have to be yes, that God has caused these droughts and famines, but he's had specific reasons for doing that. So if you're reading, especially in the Old Testament of the Bible, you can see that God used droughts for both droughts and rain, honestly, to symbolize both his mercy and his truth. In the book of Deuteronomy, God promises to send rain if Israel follows his laws. However, the opposite of that, droughts can be seen as a curse and describes punishment for disobeying God's laws. Now, we, especially in 2024 American Christianity, we don't like to talk about things like that. We don't like to talk about God's punishment. We don't like to think that we have upset God. After all, we are Americans. We are American Christians. We have beautiful cathedrals and churches, and we spend $1 million on complexes, and we spend millions of dollars in missions trips and millions of dollars in youth advancement and so on and so on. So we like to think, I believe, as the corporate overall body of Christians in America, I believe we are exalting ourselves, and I believe we've gotten a little too high and mighty in our Christian britches, so to speak. Listen, God's word will not be adulterated. You might commit adultery on your husband or wife, and you might get that spouse's forgiveness, maybe. And you may come before God, you may become before the Lord in true repentance and asking forgiveness and knowing that you have sinned and you're wanting to turn your life back around and make amends and turn towards God and live by the standards that the Bible says to live by. And you get forgiveness in that. Certainly, Jesus Christ is a faithful God to forgive when one actually repents. But a greasy grace just to say, yeah, okay, I got caught this time, Lord, and I'm sorry for it. Just let your grace and mercy take over. That's not how it works, friends. Now, I know that's the way you may have been taught in your churches in 2024, in the last 10, 15 years, when the greasy grace and sloppy agape have become prevalent in the American culture, in the Christian church. But if you read your Bible again, you will see that's just not true. That's just not true. So could we be, possibly? Could God be mad at America? I want you to think about that. Such a righteous, holy country as we say we are. And Christians say all the time we were founded on the principles of Christianity as a nation. I would probably disagree with a good portion of that statement. And I could probably take historical facts and actually tear that argument up to some extent. I'm not saying there wasn't a Christian involvement and certainly a Christian movement in the establishing of the Constitution and the United States of America. But it wasn't as exclusive as some of you have preached from your pulpits, and some of you have decided to lay hold of that doctrine on how right we really are as Christians, because we're not, truthfully, all that right a lot of times. Our God is. Our God is righteous. Our God, the God that we know as Christians, is righteous. And he's holy. And I don't take away from that, but his subjects aren't so much. So we see that when in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, we see when the prophet Elijah, who the Old Testament prophet speaking directly on behalf of God himself, saw the sins of the nation of Israel. He wasn't particularly looking so much at the sin of an individual, although individuals make up the nation, right? But he's looking at the sins of Israel, and in particular, listen to this one. Elijah was looking, as the prophet of God, at the sins of Israel's leadership, its kings. And so what did he do? What did Elijah do? As God's spokesman, as that in the old covenant, that linked directly into God's ear, so to speak. What did Elijah do? He prophesied and proclaimed a drought on the land as God's punishment towards the government, the Israelite kings and leadership for their sins. And generally what happens in a nation when its leaders sin and its leaders disobey the commands and the precepts of a holy God, what happens to the citizens of that nation? Well, two things. Number one, they most of the time follow their leadership's act. In other words, if my leadership is doing this, it must be okay for me as John Q. citizen to do the same thing. If my leaders lie, cheat, and steal, then apparently it's okay as me as John Q. citizen to do the same thing. If my leaders commit adultery and are into all kinds of lewd and lascivious acts, then it must be okay for me too. So we follow, follow the leader. And the sins of the headship just roll on over onto the individuals of the nation. And then the next thing you know, the entire nation is in reprobation when it comes to God's standards and his holiness. So the prophet of God proclaimed punishment. He proclaimed, here's what God's going to do. He's going to bring drought on land. Well, what comes with drought? Now, I know some of you folks think your food comes directly from Walmart or Food Lion or Winn-Dixie, et cetera, Kroger's. It doesn't come from them. You purchase your food from them. They do not manufacture your food. Your food comes from the land. Your food comes from farmers. Your vegetables are grown in the dirt. Your meats are raised in pasture lands and sheep farms, hog farms, cattle farms, it has to be produced naturally. I know they've made artificial meat, but I think, thank you, I'll just stay with the real thing. So if your farmers aren't able to produce because of a drought, what comes next? A famine. Because there's no food being grown, sent to the processing plants to be processed to bring out to your retailers. Then what happens to all of us? We feel the pains of starvation. We feel the pains of lack. And that's something in this country we're not too familiar with in modern times. We are not too familiar. We have become very soft. We're accustomed to 3, 4, 5, 6 meals a day if we want it. We're accustomed to free food being handed out at the food pantry, even if we don't have enough to indulge ourselves in gluttony. We just go to the food pantry and get some more because there's food pantries everywhere. And we hear about food insecurity, and we hear about, and I'm not saying that there are not some people that do not have enough money to buy food. Some of that is their own doing, quite frankly, but some of it is certain circumstances come in life, and I get it. But we've become soft. We expect it to be readily available to us. But what happens when it's not? What happens when, if this is when droughts come, which they will, and if the droughts come by the hand of God as an indicator of punishment, and then famines come, and starvation begins to come, and when starvation becomes pestilence and disease, then who do we turn to? There's no point in going to the Kroger store if there's nothing on the shelf, right? Do we develop into a nation of complete anarchy? Well, yes, starvation will cause people to go into an anarchist mindset. So that will eventually happen, one way or the other. Are we there now? I'm not quite sure about that. But I know we have the indicators that leads us to, if this is not the end of age, the end of the age, we can certainly look around and see the signs and know that we are displeasing to God as individuals and as a society, and I believe as a church. Too many churches will not tell the truth because tithes go down. And that's just the bottom line. Pastor, you can tell me that doesn't mean anything to you, but I've been there and I know that it does. Now, what was the other aspect of that for Elijah when he proclaimed a drought? And then the famines come. What happened? Well, God took care of him, didn't he? First thing he did is he told him to go by a seasonal river for this period of time in your life, Elijah. It's go by here and, you know, you'll find the birds will feed you. That's what the Bible says, by the way. And, you know, there'll be water and there'll be food. There'll be a food supply there. And then when that seasonal river were to dry up, then what did he do to Elijah? He directed her to go to a widow woman of all people in Zarephath. And said, well, she needs a miracle. You need a miracle, Elijah. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit. Here was the thing. Elijah, you need a miracle. She needs a miracle. She's got enough to feed you. And she's got enough for you to bless it and let me do a miracle in her life. I don't believe as some of these won't teach the prophet's blessing. I don't believe the prophet's blessing is what created the miracle for the widow at Zarephath. It was the fact that he brought faith to her and asked God. She got faith, her faith activated by his faith. God joined in. Boom. Miracles happen. So, but moral of the story there is, for the people that are truly following after God's precepts, the people that are following after and believing and having faith and trusting with their heart, their mind, and their body, wholly, on our God, he provides a way. For those that will repent and humble themselves, he will always, always, always provide a way. Let me say that one more time. For those that will repent and humble themselves and trust God, He will provide a way. The Patriot Trainer, I'll see you again on lifeinvestigated.com.